Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wow. Glory to God. Worship team, wasn't that amazing? That was just, and is amazing. Feel the presence of God just all over this room, all over this room. And let's just lift our hands once more. And Holy Spirit, we thank you today. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, for what you're doing in this church, that you're hovering over each and every one, Lord God, that the angels are stirring over every person, Lord. Today we feel heaven's presence in a powerful way. And we thank you, Lord, that there's miracles in the atmosphere. There's breakthrough in the atmosphere. And we're in your house today. We're in the house of bread. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the living bread. You are the living water. You're the Lord of all. And we just worship and praise your holy name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Give someone next to you a high five. And I know you've already greeted them. But tell someone, I'm so glad you turned up today. No walking around, as Pastor Rob said. Oh, wow. I'm just so overjoyed to be back here again, and just love the presence of God here, and just so many young'uns in the house. It's, in fact, I was a teenager, 28 years, when I first started coming, and praise the Lord. Praise God. I want to share a word today, and excited to be able to pray for people and encourage people. You know, the gift of prophecy is the gift of encouragement. Courage, edify, and exhort. And Jesus, and Moses said, would that all God's people were prophets, and we'd all have a heart to encourage. And so I believe that God wants to encourage people with the truth of the word today. Thank you, Lord. I just want to share some statistics. I want to say I really stand with Pastor Rob and Denise, and I have just had such a wonderful privilege of standing with them over the years. And I just want to honour them for their longevity in serving and standing fast, holding the line. You know, when so much is happening all through the years, they've held the line. And I believe, particularly at this time, we need pastors who'll hold the line, who'll stand strong. And I just want to honour them for that. And there used to be an old saying that, you know, you can't mix religion and politics, and we'll just stay in our lane. And I want to say, you know, this is not a time to stay in your own lane in that area. In fact, it was either Dietrich Bonhoeffer, or was that the bread? Anyway, Dietrich Bon something. He was pleading with the pastors in Germany at the time of Hitler's political rallying, and he could see what was behind it. He could see where it was heading. And I think 18,000 chose to not get involved. 3,000 stood against it. And as we know, the terrible outcome of that. And I want to say today, God is serious about our votes. We come into agreement with, when someone is pro-abortion, we come into agreement with the spirit of murder. I have no idea what that would release over my life, but I'm not going there. We need to stand for truth and stand for righteousness. Amen? Amen. Stand for something or we'll fall for anything. And so, praise God. So thank you, Pastor Rob, for being brave and encouraging us. And I don't care if it's unpopular. I want to stand up and expose the things that are going to, particularly what's happening with our kids, you know, in school situations and just all that. We need to rise up and be a voice to be counted. Amen? Excuse me. I had such a wonderful time with the ladies yesterday. And I want to say, what a display. Everyone that helped. I mean, women do things that are just with a spirit of excellence. So whoever made all the cakes and the slices, they were delicious. And just it was just a fabulous day. So thank you for that. And thank you to all the ladies. And just before I want to get into the word, I want to just share some statistics. Statistics don't lie. The average duration of a phone call. Boy to boy, 59 seconds. Boy to mum, 50 seconds. Boy to girl, boy to dad, 30 seconds. Boy to girl, 1 hour, 23 minutes and 59 seconds. girl to girl, 5 hours, 29 minutes and 59 seconds. Husband to wife, 3 seconds. Mum to married daughter, 10 hours, 50 seconds. Wife to husband, 14 missed calls. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I brought my phone up here because I am finally learning how to not waffle. Pastor Rob has been a wonderful coach to me over the years. And so I have got a stopwatch. I know I'm in really bad trouble if I'm preaching next time I come, and that's by faith I'm saying that. But if all the alarms go off in the church, help me not waffle. I want you to open your Bibles this morning. We're going to go to Judges chapter 1. And I just want to share a short story from the Old Testament. And, you know, the old is in the new, revealed. The new is in the old, concealed. But in every page of this book, it talks about Jesus and God's plan of salvation. And we see it encoded in stories and in pictures of the great love that God has for us. And this story is no different, this account. And we're turning to Judges chapter 1. And I'm going to spread this out because the light is just, I can see that better. Praise the Lord. And we're going to read in Judges chapter 1 in verse 12. And just a bit of background, Joshua's died. God has left Caleb in the land to take the next generation in. That's why I feel Caleb's assignment had a lot more significance with the latter part of his years, because God kept him alive for this very purpose, to lead the next generation into their inheritance. Amen? And I love looking around this house because there's always been an extraordinary amount of young people. And I believe this is a seedbed of the call of God being released on the young ones, and even with the mums and dads being in the house to nurture and to encourage. But I really feel that one of the primary calls on this house is to release the generations into the call of God. Amen. And so as they went in to now take the land that Joshua had dealt with the major kings that had been strongholds, and then they had to go in and drive out the rest of the Ites, drive out the rest of the inhabitants. And so when you and I have an inheritance, it's a legacy, it's given, but we have to actually go in and take it, amen? We actually have to go in and lay hold of it. And so we see Othniel is a young man there. There's three key players in this story. So it's Caleb is leading the next generation in, and they're taking the cities. And the Bible says in Judges chapter 1 verse 10 that they went and took Hebron, and verse 11 that there they went up against the inhabitants of Debir. The name of Debir was formerly Kiriath Sepha. And Caleb said, whoever attacks Kiriath Sepha and takes it, to him I will give my daughter Aksa as wife. And Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. So he gave his daughter Aksa as wife. And it happened that when she came to him, she urged him to ask her father for a field. And she dismounted from her donkey. And Caleb said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, give me a blessing, since you've given me land in the south, in the Negev. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Father, we thank you today that the entrance of your word brings life. And I ask that you would speak to our hearts and change our lives today with your word. Thank you, Lord, that every single person, oh God, would receive an open heaven over their lives today in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And so we see this man, Caleb, who had fought a battle against the giants to take Hebron, because he was thinking of his family. He was thinking of the next generation that would need inheritance. And so he had that mountain. If you remember, Caleb said to Joshua, give me my mountain, because I've waited these 45 years. My strength has not grown dim, nor has my eye abated, as my strength for war to go in and go out has not abated. Give me my mountain. And he said, as I was at 40, so I am today. I believe he had the spirit of longevity, but he also stopped getting old at 40. Hallelujah. Let's claim that today. Glory to God. Amen. I believe Christians should be the most alive the most on fire people because we have God's Spirit upon us. Amen. To give us that longevity, to give us that passion for God that doesn't cease. And so here we see he's gone in and he's taking the land. God is using families in this hour. He's advancing whole families. And when he threw out that challenge, whoever takes Kiriath Sefer, it was originally inhabited by giants. And Kiriath Sefer means the city of the book. The city of the book. But it then got named Debir. It got renamed. And Debir means the Holy of Holies. And I believe it's a picture of what the Word of God will do in our lives. Because you and I are called to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. The inhabitation of God in the earth. Amen. And so when Caleb said that, he wasn't just offering his daughter up to the highest bidder. In fact, Caleb's daughter was renowned for her beauty. It says in historical accounts with the Bible, she was extraordinarily beautiful, and Caleb absolutely adored his daughter. And she had been born in the wilderness, got to know her father's love, got to trust her father all through the wilderness. And during that time, you know, she probably knew Othniel because he was a cousin. In those days, it wasn't wrong to marry your cousin. In fact, it was important to stay within your own tribe, and there was a purity of the bloodline then. And so he probably had already thought she was absolutely a knockout. And so when Caleb threw that challenge out, and Caleb's name means forceful, but it also means big-hearted. And I want us to see, just as there's types and shadows in the Bible, as I share this story very briefly, that Caleb is a representation of the Father God. Amen? And Aksa, his daughter, is like the bride of Christ, is like his sons and daughters. Amen. We're all part of the bride of Christ and we're all sons of God. So praise God. It's a picture of the church. Amen. And Othniel, whose name means lion of God, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as Jesus went to the cross and destroyed the giants, gave us the word of God so that we could be the tabernacle, we could be the dwelling place of God. And so I want us to have a look at this picture, this story, through the lens of the gospel, through the lens of the Father heart of God. Amen? And so it says there that he throws the challenge out, knowing he really was wanting the bravest, strongest, most powerful person, which was Othniel, to take the challenge. And so he wasn't just treating his daughter like up for the highest bidder. He knew that there was one who was able to open the scroll. He knew there was one called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah that was worthy, hallelujah, of the bride. And you are part of the bride of Christ, amen? And so when Othniel rose up and took the challenge, and here they are, they're married now. So I want us to pick it up here. It says there, now it happened when she came to him. So he's got Aksa as wife. Now I want to just point out here, the word Aksa, it means jewel, it means anklet bracelet, and it also means to burst through the veil, or bursting the veil. And you are a jewel, you're a treasure to God. And how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But I believe there was something about Aksa that God wants to highlight here today. That she was a breakthrough woman. She was a breakthrough person, amen? And she said, she came to him and she urged him to ask her father for a field. And that's their inheritance. That was the bridal dowry. That was what was given to them as an inheritance in the wedding. And then she said, she dismounted from her donkey and Caleb said to her, what do you wish? So they have their inheritance. Now she's turning to the father to ask for something more. Tell the person next to you, there's something more for you today. Tell someone else, there's a whole lot more for you today. And when she dismounted from her donkey and she, you know, this was serious, she went to the father and Jesus said, in that day, you will not ask me anything, but whatever you ask the father in my name, I will give it to you. Hallelujah. We have an inheritance. She wasn't dissatisfied. She wasn't saying, I'm not grateful. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for my family being saved. Thank you for looking after me. Thank you for meeting my needs. Thank you, God. But I got to have more. Hallelujah. And I believe today God is breaking passivity off our lives. He's breaking a victim mentality, a powerlessness. And it's just not your lot in life to settle for what you have. Amen. Not because we're greedy, but God knows if He releases it to you, we're going to release it to our children. We're going to give it away. We're going to give it out. Amen. Tell someone there's got to be more. Hallelujah. There's got to be more. And He wants to break that passivity off our lives. You know, the word lot is the word we see through the book of Esther, the casting of lots. And life is like that. Proverbs says the lot is cast into the lap. Well, you're going to have a struggle in your marriage. Or you're just going to have, you know, the kids that run away from God. You're going to have a rebellious daughter. You're going to struggle in finances. The lot is cast into the lap. But every decision comes from the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is hovering. He's got some decisions. He's got some breakthroughs. Amen. But He's looking for a people who are coming to agreement and not sit and have a pity party and say, well, I guess this is as good as it gets. And thank you, Jesus, I'm going to heaven. He's looking for people of faith who will pursue Him, that will go after and say, there's got to be more for my family. There's got to be more for my children. There's got to be more. Well, let's make His death a death of honor and go after everything He died to give you and I. The Bible says He became poor that we might be rich. He took our infirmities that we might be well. And I've been on a journey, and Pastor Rob and Denise have known different times when I've come struggling in physical areas. And, you know, sometimes there were times when I was dealing with some infirmities that I would have to take, you know, Panadol before I got up here, just to so the next couple of hours the pain that I had in my body was able to be coped with. But I'm here to tell you, 2 years ago, I was booked in for a knee replacement. Glory to God. Not glory to God. But glory to God, I didn't have to go. Jesus healed me. Amen. Jesus touched my life. I used to have to put a pillow, you know, between my knees because of the pain. I'd have to take tablets before I went to bed because of the pain. But hallelujah, I'm pain-free. Glory to God. I'm pain-free. Glory to God. Amen. God is a good God. There's got to be more. Tell someone there's much, much more for you today. Amen. And she dismounted from her donkey and she went to the Father God. She went to God and she said, the land you've given me, the Gev, is dry. You've given me the south land, with this great south land of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, there's more for our nation. And as we stand and we stand and we stand for righteousness, there's got to be more. And as she said, you've given me the dry Negev. God doesn't want you to have a dry marriage. He doesn't want you to have a no-frills life. He doesn't want you to settle. She could have settled. Well, this is our inheritance. We'll just have to make do. He wants you to have your own home. He wants you to have a great job. He wants you to have a joy-filled family. Whatever you're looking at right now, don't settle for that. I'm here to tell you the breakthrough comes out of God. Amen? It says, without Him, we can do nothing. And I just want to share something that may sound a little bit personal in church, but it's a very natural part of life. The Bible says, your own righteousness is as filthy rags. And it actually, in the right translation, your own righteousness is as a menstrual cloth. Talking about a woman's cycle, and when she's wanting to have a baby, that has to change. And so it's just a sign that there is no baby. And our own righteousness will never produce a baby, will never produce fruit. It comes out of heaven, hallelujah. The miracles come out of heaven. The miracles, the breakthroughs come from God for our own righteousness. Without Him, I can do nothing. And He says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That my power is strongest when you're at your lowest. My power is greatest when you say, without Him, I can do nothing. Amen? Because our own righteousness can never produce. It's only that which is born of God, born from above. overcomes the world. Hallelujah. And God wants to release miracles. And so she comes to the Lord, and she, her name is bursting through the veil, the breakthrough. She said, I need springs of water. And the Bible says that, and first of all, she went after it. I want to say, your children are worth fighting for. Their destiny is worth fighting for. Amen. Reminds me of Back to the Future. Remember Doc? In one of the third sequels, I think there's three or four of them. But Doc comes back from the future, and he comes to Marty, and this is years down the track. And he says, what's going on, Doc? He says, it's not you, it's your grandkids. And I want to say, God can change that situation. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the breakthrough of the cross is not only for you, but for our children's children. And I think I've shared with you Jack and Mac's story. Jack's 10 today. 10. He's sort of got this little cowlick flick going on. And even though there's nothing to flick, there's a... I think to be a bit... It's just, how's my hair looking today, Mum? And praise God. Our grandkids, amen. We're fighting for their future. We're fighting for our children's future, for yours, amen. And the Bible says that Caleb, who is like our Father God, who loves you with such a great love, that the very inheritance he has for you, he wants to pour it all out. It says he gave her the upper and the lower springs. The upper and the lower springs. She hit the jackpot. She hit the jackpot. You know, when it says the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision comes from the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 16, my lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. My boundaries. God wants to break through the boundaries on your life, the glass ceilings. And we set boundaries. Sometimes we think, well, you know, maybe God can't change this. Or maybe this is as good as it gets. God wants to break the limitations. The middle verse of the Bible is they limited the Holy One of Israel. We can limit God by setting boundaries. Well, I guess he'll never change, or she'll never change, or I've always been poor. I've always struggled in this area. They're our boundaries, and we've got to smash those glass ceilings. We've got to break those boundaries, amen? Because we set it. My boundaries are falling to me in pleasant places, and you maintain my lot. But we've got to get out of natural thinking. You might think, well, if I just win lotto. My father won the golden casket. If you think money's going to change everything, you know, within just a short amount of couple of years, he drank it all, and we're back. Mum was struggling again, and he had to declare bankruptcy. The breakthrough comes out of heaven that'll change our lives, amen? It'll come out of heaven. And when she asked for it, the Bible says he was delighted to give her so much more. God says, I want to do far above what you could ask, imagine, or even think. And I know the years you've known when I waited for my daughter, my middle girl, to have a child. And that was a barren time in the spirit, just waiting and believing God. And you know, the Bible says, sing, O barren. You know, when we come into the house of God, and I could feel the miracle power of God as we were singing. No matter what you're going through, you're singing today, hallelujah. And it says, sing, O barren. Sing those of you that haven't seen the breakthrough yet. For many more will be the children, the breakthroughs of the barren one who's singing. Go forward singing. And as they began to sing in Chronicles 20, when they sang, not when they were sitting at home having a pity party, wondering why things won't change for me and God doesn't do things for me. Now, when you walk through those doors, you lift up holy hands and you say, though the fig tree hasn't blossomed yet and I haven't seen the fruit on the vine, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to lift up holy hands. I'm going to sing wholeheartedly. I'm going to praise wholeheartedly. Lord, I'm going to let the incense of my praise arise. It says, as they were singing, ambushments were set against the enemy. And I saw walked through those years of waiting and standing and praying with my daughter. And she hit the jackpot. And she said, Mum, I can't get depressed these days. She adopted two little boys over a couple of years. She said, I just have to look at those two little boys. I just have to look at that miracle and know. My God is faithful. My God is able. Amen. But we have to look to God, amen? Lean not to our own understanding. Our own righteousness will never produce, amen? It's looking unto Jesus. And he gave her the upper and the lower springs. Now, the upper springs was what was going to pour out upon all the land. It was so much that it would flood the land, and the lower springs will be a supply for the next generation. She was looking ahead to her children. She was looking ahead to her future, and she hit the jackpot. And even now, when you go to the area of Debir and in the Negev there, it says, even though it's a dry place, there is an extraordinary amount of water. And even in the driest summer, there is an abundance. There's over 14 springs, some in the upper valley, some in the upper area, some in the lower valley. And that is the land of Aksa. Her name means to burst through the veil. Are you ready to say, God, I'm going after more? Bible says he gave it to her. And she had breakthrough. She had breakthrough for her children. She had more than enough. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. That's got to be in our heart. We can't settle. We can't settle for where we are today. Amen? We've got to press in for more of God. Could we just stand right now? The upper and the lower springs. God wants to release them. He wants to open up the floodgates. He wants to open up the floodgates. We're going to break off the limitations. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you're at your worst. You know, when she came to the Father, she was honest. She wasn't being ungrateful. Thank you for inheritance. She was being straight and she was being honest, but she knew what to do. They had inheritance. Jesus said, ask the Father in my name. Today, are you ready to ask the Father? Are you ready to see miracle breakthroughs? To break out of any passivity, any kumbaya spirit? Come see, you know, come see, come sa, you know, say la vie, you know, what do they say? All that rubbish. I'm going after it. I'm going after breakthrough for my children. I'm going after full health. I'm going after everything Jesus died to give me. And I'm asking the Father today on your behalf for miracles. I'm asking the Father on your behalf for an open heaven here today, right now. He wants to open the floodgates. And I believe even in this nation, he wants to open the floodgates. Hallelujah. And over this church, he wants to open up the floodgates. And this is a house of revival. This is a house of the presence of God. This is a house of generations. Amen? Never fight a negative thought. Replace it. And I want you just to see. Be specific. Be specific. Faith calls those things that be not. So they already are. And ask this question. What will my life look like when there is abundance? What will it feel like to see my son or my daughter happily married? What will it look like to have more than enough? What will it feel like to get up in the morning and have no pain? What will my life look like? Lord, we receive the faith picture. Just as you said to Abraham and Sarah, don't look at the barren womb. Look at the stars. Look at the stars. Get that faith picture, because I'm going to do that far above. So today, oh God, we see the faith picture. We see the children. We see the happy marriages. We see the abundance. We see new doors of opportunity. And we, as Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God because of unbelief, but were strong in faith, giving glory to God, knowing what he promised he was able to perform. So we stand in faith today. We receive in faith today. And we thank you, Lord, that your promises are true. Your word is settled forever in heaven. And we receive a yes. We receive a yes and amen over that promise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. And I'm just going to hand it back right now to Pastor. As I come down, and if you want someone to just stand in agreement with you today, maybe it's a bit of a reach to believe for that breakthrough, as it was for children, for my daughter, as it was for change, then I'm happy to come into agreement with you.